This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, February 1st, 2026. The heart of worship, remembrance.
And family, it's so great to see you. It's so great that we can be back together in person this week. Amen. Yeah, I mean, we're so grateful for the technology that made last week possible, but there's nothing like coming together, right? Just getting to be together nice and warm inside all together. So welcome back this week. And if you're watching with us online, welcome also. So glad that you're here today. For the past couple weeks, we have been in a series talking all about the heart of worship. And I don't know about for you, but for me, I just feel like it's been so refreshing, hasn't it? If you've been here to just kind of recenter and refocus, to talk about what worship is and what it isn't, and just to kind of start the new year out in a good place, right? So whether you've been with us or not, just a really quick overview of what we've talked about when we've talked about the heart of worship. We have talked about the heart of worship being holiness. And then the next week we talked about the heart of worship is presence. And then last week from our homes, we talked about that the heart of worship is glory. It's kind of cool to do that at home. Kind of different. Kind of great. So today we're going to be talking about another aspect of worship that is really, really important for us to remember. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Today we're talking about the heart of worship is remembrance. Remembering. So as we dig in this morning, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come together. God, thank you for showing us the heart of worship and what it really means to worship you. God, I ask that you would prepare our hearts this morning. You would speak to us. God, that we would just hear the words that you have for us today. And we love you. Amen. So if we're talking about remembering, I want to know how good is your memory. Some of you, right, maybe you're like, you know what, my memory is pretty good. It's not too bad. Maybe some of you are like, I have horrible memory. Anybody? Memory? Maybe it depends on the day or the amount of coffee that you've had or the amount of sleep, right? Maybe your memory is somewhere in the middle. Google says that the average human brain's memory capacity is roughly 2.5 petabytes or 2.5 million gigabytes of information. If you have no idea what that means, like me, what it really is the equivalent to is 3 million hours of TV shows. A lot of TV. Or if you want to throw it back real old school, 1.74 billion floppy disks worth of information. Who remembers the floppy disk? Yes, I'm old enough to remember the floppy disk, okay? That is a lot of memory. A lot of memory. Wow. But you know, our memory is so complex, and it's not as simple as just saying, oh, this is how much information our brains can hold. Because memories are hard to really like quantify. There's so many things and dynamics that complicate our memories, aren't there? Things like our feelings or smells or lack of sleep. We mentioned that one. Certain sounds can trigger things, maybe preconceived ideas that we have that confuse our memories. Even, did you know that our brains often have this ability where they can reconstruct our memories? And then we think things that we think happened that didn't actually happen, or at least in the way that we think they did, right? There's so many things that complicate our memories. For me, here's an example. I grew up going to the beach as a kid, and my parents would take my brother and I every single summer to Bethany Beach. That was literally the only time we came to Delaware. Sorry. Was just to get to the beach. And we would spend every summer, we would spend a week at Bethany Beach at the Blue Surf Motel. Right there on the boardwalk. I don't think it's there anymore, sadly, but we would come there every summer. And so when I tell you this, nothing takes me back to that beach in the summertime faster than the smell of fresh tar on the blacktop. You thought I was gonna say something else, didn't you? Right? Because I don't know, there must have been one summer where they were like paving behind the motel or they were doing something back there because my brain smelled that, my little brain smelled that, and now literally wherever I am, even if it's freezing cold outside and I smell fresh tar, I feel like I'm at the beach. I do. It's weird. And I'm 4 years old again. I smell it, and I'm four, and I'm at the beach with my family, and it's just the weirdest thing. But memories are like that. Smells are actually one of the strongest reminders for our brains. It's crazy how that works. And, you know, there's things that we can do that help improve our memory. We can do things like sleeping well. I don't know what that's like. Managing our stress effectively, because we always do that. Eating or not eating certain things, keeping our minds active. Those kinds of things help us to improve our memory. But there's also things that we can do that negatively impact our memory. And so there's things that we can think about or things that have happened to us that don't help our memory. Things like trauma or abuse, drug and alcohol use can have negative impacts on our memory. So additionally, when we're impacting memory, maybe you didn't know this, but our brains take in so much information daily. They take in so much stuff, even more than we actually realize that we're taking in, because our brains systematically work to focus, and our brains focus on what is necessary and then forget the rest. Our brains actively do that, because otherwise we would experience like extreme mental overload, and our brains would just like, we wouldn't be able to control it. Our memories are wild. They're so complex. And so it makes me want to ask the question, how do we make sure we remember the right stuff? Right? How do we intentionally train our brains and our heart to be in tune with what God is saying and His will for our life? How do we remember all the good things that God has done and then use that as an act of worship? Psalm 77, 11 to 12 says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. How? How do we do this? How did the people of the Old Testament remember? What visible, tangible sign did they have to remind them of God's faithfulness over and over again? Anybody know? One word, altars. They built altars. Altars were built a lot, very often, in the days of the Old Testament, and they served several different purposes. Some altars were used as indicators of worship and thanksgiving. Altars were places of memorial, prayer, a special dedication to God. Altars were reminders of times that God had delivered his people and the power that God had to do so. Did you know that the word altar is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible? It's got to be important. 370 of those times are in the Old Testament alone. Altar. So I'm going to give you a quick example. Maybe some of these altars in the Old Testament sound familiar, like one from Noah. Genesis 8, 20 to 21. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." There's an altar. Abraham alone constructed lots and lots of different altars. There were four big ones that you can find if you check out Genesis. But one of the most memorable altars that he built was on Mount Moriah. And I bet you remember this one, when he was prepared to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. And then God showed up. Genesis 22, 13, 14 says, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." There's another altar. Here's one more example. If you can remember just this far back, not too far, not making you work too hard today. If you can remember Pastor David's first sermon here, back in July, first steps. He preached about the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. Do you remember? Do you remember what they did? Do you remember what we did, if you were with us? Joshua 4, 5 to 7 says, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. We did something really similar in our object lesson that Sunday. And we all had these little small stones. Anybody was here, remember that, right? We had those little small stones and we brought them up into that beautifully crafted box and we placed our stones in there. That box is in the lobby. You can check it out. A fun little altar that we made, right? And that stands for, it serves as a reminder for both that message, but also for the amazing work that God has done and is doing here in and through our church. The altars that were created in the Old Testament served as memorials for their people, and they were great objects and places where they could tell their children and their children's children, and for generations, people could go back to those spots, and they could find this altar, they could see it, and it was that visible reminder of, wow, God did that. I remember my parents telling me, wow, that's what God did right here. God's people understood the importance of remembering. And what's more than just remembering, they understood the importance of passing it on and teaching it to the incoming generations, of teaching God's faithfulness. I love this psalm, Psalm 78, 4 to 7. The psalmist beautifully says, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds. Isn't that beautiful? Do we really understand and appreciate the idea of remembrance today? Do we really grasp just how important it is? How important it is to pass down and impart on the next generation? Do we? In our fast-moving, ever-changing, impatient culture, I think we've generally lost this. If something breaks, we throw it away. If somebody's moving too slow in front of us, we easily get very annoyed. If we run out of something, well, we just go out and buy another one, right? Rarely are things saved or treasured or really kept for very long, right? It's kind of sad. There's a term now. It's called planned obsolescence. Maybe you've heard of it. But it refers to the practice where products are being designed so that they actually break pretty quickly. They do this, right? And they become, they either break or they quickly become obsolete in the near future. And of course, that's because these businesses that are creating these things, they want us to buy more. They want us to need the upgrade. They want us to need the next flashy part. They're always just wanting more and next and bigger and better. So I actually think that this idea of planned obsolescence applies more to than just to the products that we use. I think it applies to the era we're living in. We're living in a time when if we don't make it a point to be intentional with our faith, it will be forgotten, lost amongst the noise of the next new thing. So how can we remember what God has done for us if we don't have those places, those altars of our own? And then what's more, how are future generations going to remember if we don't teach them and guide them? And how can we leave behind something for them to look back on and remember? What can we do? We're going to do something right now. I want us all to kind of pause, take a deep breath. I want you to think back over your life. Think about all the times that God has pulled you through something. Maybe it was a time when he made a way when there seemed like there was no way. Maybe a time when he came through and he provided for you when no one else could. Maybe what comes to mind is a time where he took something horrible and ugly and awful in your life and turned it into something beautiful and holy. Think about it. Doesn't have to be a major earth-shattering, life-changing thing. Just a simple thing that God has done for you. Just think about that. I want to encourage you and challenge you and say, we can make altars today of our very own. We can create places in our minds, in our Bibles, in our journals that can serve as those altars for what God has done for us. Each time we remember back to that time, each time we remember and each time we share what God has done for us, it grows a little bit. And we remember it a little bit more and a little bit clearer. And it makes it easier to go out and tell someone and pass it on and say, hey, guess what God did for me? It's so important that we share, we remember, and we share what he's done so that others can hear from our experiences of God's faithfulness and love. One of the biggest tools, I think, that helps us do this is gratitude. Gratitude. By simply looking back and thinking about everything that God has done and being thankful for it, it kind of reframes our focus a little bit. And then the next time a hard time comes, we can look back at that last hard time and we could be like, okay, this time's not so bad because I remember when I was in that place and God did that. And now I'm in this place and I trust that God's going to do it again. God's got me, that he brought me through before. He's going to get me through again. These altars of gratitude can give us hope and courage and really let us see that anything is possible with Jesus. Anything. My small group just started a new study series by pastor and author Craig Groeschel. Maybe you've heard of him. And he's done some amazing research on the brain. And then he's taken it and applied it to our faith walk. And he has lots of books and sermon series on ways that we can use that information, things we know about our brain, to put it together with our faith and help us change the way we think and change some of those patterns that are just not healthy patterns in our mind. In his one message, The Power of Memory, he talks about this idea that he came up with as active remembrance. And it's about living in that active remembrance, which he defines as times when we can recall specific moments of God's goodness to help us build courage and give us peace in difficult times. He also notes that we can use this as a fuel for our soul when we realize that our memories can actually be a tool that helps us shift our focus from the present, uncontrollable, or negative circumstance to God's proven faithfulness. We talked a little bit about that at our Sisterhood Saturday last Saturday, didn't we? That mind shifting, right? Where we can focus on, you know, the negative and the bad and the right now, or I could switch and be like, you know what? God is faithful. God is good. Wow. How much do you think that our current outlook would change if we started thinking this way? How different could we look at our experiences and current challenges if we had this perspective? For me, most of the time, I just need a shift in perspective, I'll be honest. I just need to step back and look and be like, oh, right? How much would it change? How would it look? What would our altars look like if we started creating them even while we're waiting for the answer to come? Like, okay, God, I'm going to build this altar. I'm going to remember that you're faithful because I'm in this right now, and this is really hard, but I'm going to keep building because I remember what you did, and you're faithful, and you've got me. It's going to be okay. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I love the Bible, a lot of reasons why I think it's pretty awesome, why it's a really cool book, but one of my favorite things about the Bible is that it really is just one big love story. It's beautiful. A love story between a holy and great loving father and his children and the work that he's doing to show that love and to bring them back to him. And when you zoom out and you kind of put all the parts of the Bible together, you can really see this love story played out. You really can. Think about this. Those altars that we're talking about that were in the Old Testament that those people built, those altars of the Old Testament became the tabernacle. That became the holy dwelling place of God amongst his people. And the people would journey and move with that tabernacle from the desert to the promised land. But then later, that tabernacle becomes the permanent structure of the temple. Remember King Solomon? He's commissioned to build a space where God's presence can abide, right? And then what happens in the New Testament? How does it continue? In the New Testament, we see Jesus sacrificing himself, you and I, on the ultimate altar of the cross. Wow. And here we see this progression hit its fulfillment because then you and I, you know what comes next? You and I become the living temple through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. You and I, we become the new temple, and now the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in this tabernacle or at this temple, but the Holy Spirit dwells where? In us. Wow. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 6:16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Peter. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. When we tell our stories of what God has done for us, we're building those altars. Our lives can become those altars, our stories that other people can see. When we do that, we're teaching and we're guiding, we're sharing with that next generation so that they can see and know God's faithfulness. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when I was growing up, I went to a lot of different like Christian retreats and summer camps. I went to a Christian university. And something that people always like to ask in Christian circles, and even still a little bit today, people will come up and be like, I want to hear your testimony. Right? Let me hear your story. Share your story. I remember being in class and the professor would be like, turn and share your testimony. You know, so it's like everybody wants to hear like, what's your testimony? What's your testimony? And I used to think nobody wanted to hear my testimony. I honestly thought that because I was raised in a Christian home, two loving parents. We had no major problems growing up. My life was pretty good. And I used to think nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear my boring story. I would really honestly think that. I would think people wanted to hear these exciting testimonies, right? People wanted to hear these great flashy stories about how God had rescued them from prison and addiction and spiritual warfare. And my story just didn't have any of those things. But then something happened. Something shifted for me. And I realized something really important. I realized that was my testimony. My story is a story of God's faithfulness, a story of God's goodness. My whole life, God has been there guiding me, showing me, walking with me, loving me. And I haven't been perfect by any means. I've strived to follow him and love him more. And that's not boring. It's beautiful. And I'm so blessed that that is my story. The song Goodness of God, maybe you've heard it, by Jen Johnson, is one that I just identify with so well because honestly, it's the first song that I've heard in a long time that I really feel like speaks to people who have stories like mine. If you know it, sing it with me. Ready? All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. When we come together as the body of Christ in times of worship, it's really, really powerful because we're all coming together and we're all bringing our altars. We're bringing our times of remembrance. We're remembering what God has done, and we're bringing gratitude collectively to God. How cool is that? You've got your altar, your memories, your stories of God's faithfulness. I've got mine, and we're coming together to worship and say, thank you, God. Thank you. So how are you creating altars of remembrance in your life? How are you remembering God's faithfulness and being thankful for all that he has done for you? How are you singing about the goodness of God in your life? You know, long before written texts, oral tradition was the primary means of communication, and biblical knowledge was spread that way. Many people couldn't read, they couldn't write, and so they relied on oral tradition to learn the things that they learned. And so many stories and things that we have now recorded in the Bible were once told and retold for years and decades before they were ever written down. We have the Bible today because people talked, people shared, people said what God was doing in their lives and shared stories of God's faithfulness to the next generation and the next and the next. And so just as important for us to remember and to be thankful, I want to challenge you with this also. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to leave here today and say, you know what? I just have to tell you what God has done for me. It's small. It might be little. It might seem super insignificant. But let me tell you what God has done, how I have seen his faithfulness. And it'll be remarkable to see the changes that are made, the way that God moves. Whenever we talk about remembering what God has done, I so clearly hear the verse saying, do this in remembrance of me, talking about the Last Supper. And so it's kind of cool, it's really beautiful that today we have that opportunity. We get to come together at the Lord's table and we get to remember what he did for us on the cross through celebrating communion, a really cool way to remember.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.